Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, Fungula! We have another great episode for you today with my good friend, Mariah. She's super talented, extremely beautiful. Like, it's almost offensive how beautiful she is. And I met Mariah through our husbands. Actually, our husbands are both in the music industry. Her husband is Joel Smallbone of For King and Country. Incredible music artist. You can check out their music as well, For King and Country. And that's how we met, through our husbands. And we became really great friends. And on this episode, we talk about her Mattitudes being the rejection that she experienced in the music industry and how she turned that into gratitude and it shifted her music career and where she's at now. And so we get into that. And we talk about things like the life you may have thought you wanted, and then maybe that's not what you want, and then how do you redirect? We went down a few different avenues in this episode. We got really deep, really fast. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this episode. And before you do, don't forget that my new tour, the Family Reunion Tour, is on sale right now. Get your tickets at angela.com. There's some cities that have already sold out. There's some cities that are approaching sold out. And then there's some cities, I'll be honest, they're struggling a little bit. You know what I mean? So go to my website, angela.com. See when I'm coming to your city. Get your tickets. And as far as right now, I'm going to be at Miami Improv. There might be a few tickets left. Dania Improv might be a few tickets left. And then New Year's Eve, there was a few tickets left to my actual New Year's Eve show in Phoenix. The rest of the shows are sold out. A few tickets left for my New Year's Eve show in Phoenix. And then I'm done for the year. So get your tickets while they last. And don't forget to like and subscribe. Don't forget to leave a review. The reviews help, as long as it's a good one. If you don't like it, don't leave a review. You don't have to do that. And then also, if you want to tell me what you're grateful for so that I could possibly pick your message to be played on a future episode, call me and leave me a message and just tell me what you're grateful for. And that phone number is
747-300-5380.
That's right. So call me, leave me a message, tell me what you're grateful for. And I hope you guys enjoy this episode of Fungula. You know what I have in my head? Mm. Hasta
mañana. So sweet.
I mean, I can't sing it, so I'll just say it in my head. Because in my head, I'm killing it right now. In my head, I'm crushing. Let me tell you.
You should have seen me walking through Plaza Mariachi singing it in Spanish for the music video. Everybody thought I was fluent.
Oh, and then they started talking to you. Esto se siente familiar. Ooh, you are good. Es el fin del mundo. You are smooth. Esto sigue cayendo.
Ooh. And then people were like, ¿Tú qué quieres? And I'm like,
No sabe.
Yeah. Can you ask me one of my press questions that I've been practicing, please?
That. Literally, oh my gosh, do you do that too?
I don't know. I don't even.
You don't have press questions in Spanish?
No, I refuse. Oh. I say, and no hablo. Thank you.
No.
I'm learning.
But you're
though.
Getting good.
I'm
you're
learning.
You're if you learning. Need, if you yes. need a teacher, like a really good teacher, uh-huh. I am so impressed with my teacher. She's like helping me yeah. so much. She's a professor.
Ooh.
But I wonder if you've met her before. She's one of my friends.
Currently my teacher is my nanny. So my daughter's nanny. Our nanny. She's currently my teacher. We correct each other all day long.
Well, that
I correct
too.
Her English and she corrects.
Yeah, that my helps. You gotta have that too.
And then I'm also doing Duolingo. Mm-hmm. Danielle and I are, we keep each other accountable on Duolingo. Are you on Duo?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you should get on. It's fun. Yeah. It's just like a fun, so fun, like, no, you hate it? You hate fun? Oh. Tell me about it. Tell me, is fun your mattitude today?
No.
Fun is your mattitude. Listen, you know what? It makes me mad. Fun.
I'm trying just to be on my phone.
Am I right? Less. Oh, okay.
Mm. And I'm very, like, I like writing stuff. So I everything's, like paper, printouts, like.
I like that. Oh, you know what I just looked up last night on Amazon when I couldn't sleep? A Spanish workbook. To like start doing like answering questions in Spanish.
Next time you can't sleep, just text me because the chances are I'll be awake too.
Okay, and then we can Spanglish each other back and forth.
Yeah, what I was looking at on Amazon was strapless tube tops.
A necessity.
Beige.
Yeah, specifically.
And it helps if you type in strapless bra long line.
What does that mean?
It just brings up tube tops that have boob support.
Oh, so just put in any words at the end and see what comes up. Strapless bra, long line thread, double pigmented. Did you get my text the other day when I was like, are you guys native or just Mexican?
I'm so sorry I didn't text back.
No, you didn't. And I was going to follow up. I was like, no. If she don't want to text me back, she don't text me back then. Well, that's it. Period.
You know how when you like hold a text and you preview it and in your brain you respond and then you don't?
Yeah, I do that all the time.
Because you're like, oh, let me leave it unread so I can get back to it. And then 200 unread text messages later.
Anxiety. I can't do that. I'll clear them out just to like get the things off. And then they're like, did you see my text? I'm like,
text.
No, I had to clear it out. It was giving me anxiety. Sorry.
Mark all is red.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I did not text back. What I would have said is there is a Native American connection, but there's a lot of mystery and, dare I say, controversy around where it comes from.
Oh, okay.
What tribe, how far back it goes.
Ooh, interesting.
My family ancestry and lineage is.
Wow.
A little bit dramatic. But, like, isn't that also every, like, Latinas?
Sure.
Okay. All right. I thought it was just me, but I don't think it is.
Yeah, yeah. There's lots of mystery.
It is a bit, like, novella level, like, and your great aunt Josefina was on the side of the road in a ditch, and she was 16,
wow.
And this 48-year-old widow found her and took her home, and then she mothered all of his children.
Whoa.
Some of them were older than her. But I'm like, this actually happened.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Weird. It's weird.
Oh my god, you have to play her in a movie one day.
Oh my gosh, that would be a very dramatic movie.
I know, but you could do it.
Mm-hmm.
You're so talented.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, so talented.
Thank you.
Well, the reason why I was asking that was we were going to a powwow, and I was going to invite you, but I didn't know if you don't have to be native to go to a powwow. But I was like, oh, I wonder if she is native.
Ange, I would have come.
I know, but you didn't respond. So we went to a powwow without you. It's fine.
Dang it.
It's fine because we showed up late anyways. We missed most of the action. You would have missed out too.
No.
So
you didn't respond. That's true.
That's on me. That's on me. And with that, my mattitude this week is... No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So we start off with, you know, what's the thing that we're mad about these days? What's the thing that's annoying us? And it could be something that has just happened this past week that this really annoyed me.
Okay.
Or, like, since I was a kid, this has always annoyed me. Like, it could be anything that makes you mad, gives you a bad attitude, which is a mattitude. What is that thing for Mariah?
That's an embarrassing question.
Why?
Because I'm always mad about something.
Are you?
It's like I just have to like turn that off. I have to tune that thing
turn
off.
The station?
Yeah, because it's like maybe it's because I'm a perfectionist.
Ooh.
So it's like everything, I expect everything and everyone to behave a certain way. And my work to do, especially in my family, has been taking a step back and going like, I can't control what my parents do or what my brother does, even though we all live in the same house. That's not
Mexican.
We all in the same house. Yes, we is. Hey, it was Joel's idea.
And let's say this, okay? Because I think a lot of times, like, I've done jokes in my previous hours about, like, oh, Mexicans, we all live in the same house, whatever. And it, like, a stereotype is, like, you know, we can all only afford to, like, live in this place. So we have, like, all 15 of our family members in this, like, one-bedroom apartment. And, like, there's sometimes that is the case. But this is just goes to show you that it's cultural, you guys, because they are very successful. And they still choose to live together. They are doing very well in life. Let me tell you, their home that they all live together, one is in the West Wing and one is in the East Wing, okay? But we still choose to live together because that's cultural. That's what we love.
It's so much more fun.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. My Joel asked me the other day, my husband, he's like, what is your favorite thing about being home? Because it's so rare, right, that we get to be home. And I was like, honestly, just like waking up and like my parents coming over and like chit-chatting and then my brother coming home from work and us just like talking about work before he goes upstairs. And like it's those little interactions that are actually like the thing that I miss when I'm away.
Yes. The things that we take for granted. It's not weird because I do it too. That's the same things that I value. But here's the thing for people who may look at celebrities or somebody who's just uber wealthy or like something and be like, oh, they've got it all. They're traveling on this, you know, jet or they're like first class or they're going to this country and that. They're like, ooh, like what a life. And really what we're thinking is, man, I miss my favorite restaurant down the street from my house and I miss waking up in my bed and then just having my family right there and like all the things that we take for granted that we think like, ah, if I was, you know, rich, I would go do this or that. And like, sure, you could go do it and you might have a good time and that would be great. But odds are, after you experience those things, you may get to the point, it's not for everybody, you may get to the point where you're like, actually, I think I value having family nearby and us being together than me gallivanting off on my own by myself living the life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's at least where I've come to in my life is the things that I value. Yes, it's fun. I get to travel. I get to do all those things, but it's so hard to leave my house when I have my husband here, I have my daughter here, I have like our routine is here, my daughter eating breakfast and I love to be a part of it, that's here. So yeah, I'm having a great time. I'm flying first class to this city and then I get on stage and people are cheering for me. Oh, yay, woo, like that's fun, I love it. But I wanna see my daughter try a new food. Yeah, I want to see her in her pajamas and her messy hair. Like her that's what feels real good.
You know, it's funny because I feel somewhere in between what you're saying and where I feel like a lot of people are at. Because on one hand, you know, I do travel a lot and I'm you know, this is my full-time job. Like I'm an artist. This is not a hobby. And I work really hard and that hard work begets more opportunities sometimes. And all of that I love. And there are those sometimes moments where I'm like, ooh, I can't wait to be out this hotel room and back home, you know? But then I'm also, and maybe this is like, a state of mind that I'm having a hard time breaking out of. I also am like, I feel like I'm still really a struggling artist.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is like probably maybe a TMI like thing that I wouldn't normally talk about, but because it's you and we're here, like Joel and I have our like businesses as separate entities. We have separate teams. I have my own accountant. He has his own band accountant, the whole thing. And so, yes, I have helped invest in and build his brand And we get to experience some of the fruits of that success.
Yeah.
But my brand is a baby and it's still growing, and I'm like paycheck to paycheck. And I'm like, oh, I need to go take this gig and this job so I can afford to pay my team. Yeah. Or I'm waking up just like, how am I going to afford to play this show where they're asking me to come in and it's a great opportunity, but they're not paying me? You know, how do I? And so when you're in that in between, there are days where I'm like, oh, I just want to be home. But then there are also times where I'm home and I'm trying to make ends meet and I'm trying to make my business stay afloat. And I'm just like, get me out on the road, get me out on the field. Like, I am ready to work. Yeah. Like, I like that hunger and that drive to like get out and work. And also when you add to that the layer of like, I really am motivated by wanting to give my husband a season of rest, because the man has been touring since he was 7 years old.
Wow.
So I'm like, ooh, like put me in, coach.
Yes.
Let me go out there and do the grind.
Yeah.
So that like you can stay home, King. Like, please, somebody help him.
That is somebody help him. I'm trying to help him. That is so special that you can be in that mind frame of like, I want to be able to give him the rest and let me do the work and let me do the hustle. That's incredible. Yeah. And I think it's really about getting to a place of balance.
Yeah.
Where you can go out on the road, you can do that hustle, and then it's that work-life balance, not even just for someone like you who's touring and building their brand and an artist and like their income is based on their art, and then art is subjective, and then it's so it's not like you're on a salary where you can plan and budget and things like that, but it still applies for people who are on a salary and have to plan and budget. They still need a work-life balance because their thing is like, okay, I just got to get this promotion. But if I get this promotion, I got to put in these extra hours. I put in these extra hours. Yes. That's more hours away from my kid. And so I can't go to my kid's soccer practice because I had to put in some extra hours at the office because I'm trying to get the promotion. But if I get the promotion, then I have more income that I can afford to take us on a vacation later. So do I miss out on all the soccer practice so that I can get the promotion and then go to the vacation later? Like, it's the whole balance.
And it seems like it's even harder when you're raising children, and that's part of honestly why I've been like afraid of that season, because I know how committed I am to building and working right now, and I'm like, ooh, like I don't want to be an absent, neglectful mother, which I think in this season, like how do you do that? How do you make decisions as a mom and go, you know what, this is going to mean time away from my daughter, but it might pay off in that I will be able to stay home for this holiday or did it. Like, how do you filter those decisions? How do you do that?
It's going to be different for everybody, but you have your priorities and your boundaries. Hmm. And that's how I do it. And for my husband and my child, and then for you, because you guys don't have kids yet, but you have to do that for your husband. Because you guys have opposite touring schedules. Mm-hmm. So then it's sometimes you can travel together. But for the most part, especially when you're in the season of like building, then it's like, okay, how do I balance? Like, this is, could be good for my career, but also I'm going to be away from my husband. Mm-hmm. So there's that whole thing. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning, I'll speak to that part because that feels relatable to what your situation is. And for us in the beginning, when we first got married, it was like, Manny, we got home from our honeymoon, Manny went on tour and I went on tour, and then we didn't see each other for like a good month and a half, I think. And then we came back, and then he jumped on another tour and then another tour. And then we had to go to marriage therapy, like right away. And we had to come up with our own boundaries because we were both just used to road life.
Yeah.
And so then it was like, okay, how do we make time for each other? Because even when you're on the road and we're talking on the phone, it becomes, how was your show? Good. How was yours? Good. I'm tired. Me too.
Never forget when Manny, he actually, like, he gave me that conversation as a template. Yeah. And his version of it was, hey, babe, how was the show? And you're like, it was good. How was your show? And he was like, you know, the people, they clapped, they cheered, it was good. Like, that's, and then the next day, you know, they clapped, they cheered, it was good. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so honest.
It's just, it yeah. becomes the same conversation day after day. Yeah. And so it was like, how do you create intimacy with someone that you're far away from? So yeah. then we had our tools of like questions we would ask each other on the phone and that our therapist taught us. And then we had to create boundaries of like, okay, you can't do back-to-back tours. You can do a tour, but then we have to do a month of rest. And then it was the whole picture of like busy, bustling Manhattan and all the stuff that's happening. But right in the middle of that, there's this park of rest. There's this Central Park where you can come and just rest. Like, how did they know that in the midst of all this busy, bustling, whatever, you would need a place of rest?
Can somebody call Nashville Metro? Because we could use that too.
Yeah.
Downtown, but that's Nashville, what we, ain't no parks.
Yeah. But that's what we need in our marriages and our relationships. Yes. If we need to plan a place of rest that's and good. Not just work, 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 but then the place of rest.
Yeah.
And then we get back to that balance.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just feel like it's going to be different for everybody. You establish what your priorities are.
Yeah.
And then you establish boundaries for those priorities.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then you'll figure it out and you make it work.
It's good. We're on that track. You know, we have a boundary of we don't go longer than 2 weeks without seeing each other.
So good.
Which has been good for the last year, but I'm kind of like 2025, maybe we'd knock it down to 1 week. That would be nice.
Yeah.
And then we also have the – what we try to do when we're in touring seasons is 1 day a week. No work, just rest. Mm-hmm. And what's so cool is, like, in the everyday lives of most people, it's like you go to work Monday through Friday, and then you have this built-in, like, Saturday, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And it took us a while to get over the guilt of taking a day off.
Yeah.
And I think the guilt came from we're our own bosses and we want everyone else to work hard. So we need to like be an example of working hard and like take no breaks.
Yeah.
But then also a lot of our breaks fall or our off days fall midweek. So like a Tuesday or a Wednesday, like tomorrow's our day off.
Uh-huh.
And you just feel so bad for leaving everybody hanging on a work day, you know? But it's been important, and the longer we've been together, we've taken it more seriously.
Good. Thank God. That's all good. Mm-hmm. That's so good. And I love how we just jumped right
we
in.
We really did. I know we didn't even get to say, hey, welcome to the Fun Hella podcast. I literally saw this sign and I was like, Fun Hella, I like it.
She is Spanglish, you guys. She's been working with a tutor, okay?
Oh my gosh,
now she just so sees good. Spanish everywhere.
Everywhere.
Is what it is. Let me adjust this.
Okay. I know, because I want to know, too, and I'm sure everyone else does, too, like how you guys know each other and how you're friends and how you met. And
yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Obviously.
That's a great thought. Yes.
Lots of similarities.
Yeah.
Are you saying we look like primas?
Yeah. I know. I'm going to do an intro for you before we start.
Yes. Of course.
But yeah,
I like that we jumped right in.
We love a little backstory on connection and friendship.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Mm-hmm. But listen, don't put me and Mariah in a room and think we're not going to go deep immediately. Don't think we're not going to go to a coffee shop in front of everyone and just question everything about faith and just be
and
like,
life,
yeah,
and existence.
What do you think happens when?
So did God make the world in 7 days or was the day actually a million years?
Yeah.
Right off the top.
Yeah. Don't think we won't. Okay. But for everybody who's watching on YouTube or listening at home, they are probably wondering, how do we know each other so well? And where
unless for those who think that we're just cousins.
Yeah. That's right. We could have just said that. This is my cousin.
And I can see you. So.
We're related.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to remember how we first met.
I think it was on a tour bus. Was it on a tour bus or was it in a green room? It was Winter Jam.
Yes. Yeah.
So it was either.
And Joel was
saying
that he was intimidated by me or something. Like he thought like this famous girl that Manny was dating was coming or something like that.
Oh, yeah. And he probably, on top of being intimidated by your success, was also intimidated by your RBF. And on top of that, the fact that you're Latina.
Yeah. Just some spicy.
Yes.
That Manny's dating is coming.
Yes. Yeah.
So yeah, we probably met on Winter Jam because you guys were not married yet because we went to your wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So you weren't married yet. Yeah, so you guys were dating. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so yeah, we probably met at Winter Jam somewhere, but it's basically my husband toured on the same show that your husband toured on. Mm-hmm. And that's how they knew each other from music. And then the girls they were dating came.
Well, and put it this way, there weren't a whole lot of ladies that looked like us
in that
environment. And so I think for me, I saw you and I was like, oh my God, I can breathe.
My people,
mi gente.
Yeah. And then you're like, hola. And I'm like, I don't speak Spanish. You're like, me either.
Como es?
I knew you were my people.
No sabe kid? Yes.
See. Yeah. So I think, and then we just became fast friends, of course. Yeah. And we've journeyed together through, you know, our career stuff. And we live far apart from each other, but anytime we would get together, it would always be, like I said, immediate, deep conversation.
Well, and I think that one of the things that makes you very unique and special and something that I feel like you offer to culture now is an example of a very unconventional woman and lifestyle. Like you have in a lot of ways, at least for me, normalized things that I always thought made me crazy. It's like, oh, I really am ambitious. Like I really want to succeed. Mm-hmm. I want to be the best. I want to thrive. I want to pave a way. I want to, you know, and especially living in the South, when you're that way inclined, a lot of times the narratives that you'll hear is like, well, you should be at home serving your husband.
Yeah.
Or like that's really selfish of you to think that way. And what you've helped me realize is, first of all, we're all made differently.
Yeah.
For anybody who wants to stay home and cook and be with their families and raise their children, that is a beautiful thing. And don't let anybody demean you or make you feel silly for that. Because that is how you were created and that desire you were born with and is beautiful.
Yeah.
And for those who have aspirations in their career or in culture, that is also beautiful.
Yeah.
And depending on your cultural context, you can be made to feel like you're a bit silly, whichever end of the spectrum you end up on. But I feel like every time we have connected over the years, I've always walked away feeling like just because you're ambitious doesn't mean that you're going to hoard your success.
Mm-hmm.
You have worked so hard to get to where you're at. And with your success, you have healed people, you've encouraged people, you've created bridges and culture, and you are raising a beautiful daughter who is going to have a really special example of what it means to be a woman
who
goes after her dreams and has a loving husband who supports and partners. And like, that's not the norm
in a lot
of places. And I love that you do that. And that's probably why from the get-go I was like, talk to me, be my friend.
Yeah. Thank you. That's very sweet of you to say. That the fact, you know, that you see ambition in me and I look at you the same exact way, but even more so because let me tell you, when Mariah was talking about how she's a perfectionist.
Uh-oh.
And her ambition. Mariah has potty trained her cat.
Okay.
I'm not going to spend time potty training a cat. I'm already dreading the day when I have to start potty training my human daughter. human. I am dreading.
What is a potty train? Like, he uses the toilet, your cat?
Yeah.
Girl, yes. Yeah.
Well, can you explain?
What? Well, okay. Here's
explain what your cat does and then how you got it to
here's
do that.
The thing. When Joel and I first got married, we moved into an apartment together, and it was a one-bedroom apartment. And you just can't have a box of litter in a one-bedroom apartment and not feel like you're just breathing in chemicals all day. And okay. So at the time, I didn't really know anything about, like, the toxicity levels of kitty litter. I just thought, I don't like the way this smells.
Yeah.
And there's little crumbs, like, everywhere on the floor because she's getting it on her paws. And, like, I'm just getting grossed out. So I just started Googling, like, if there was a way, like, how to train a cat to use the toilet.
And the fact that you Googled, is there a way to potty train a cat? That shows a level of ambition that not every human has. I would never think, is there some more work I can do? Something that could probably be challenging, yeah, but maybe, you know, possibly impossible.
It's the short-term work for the long-term payoff. Like, truly, it was 6 weeks of training. And it's
like
now,
the course you took was like, this will be done in 6 weeks.
The course. It's a kit. You can buy a kit.
Oh, and it's a kit.
Yeah, and it, like,
somebody has a business.
It's essentially like a tray that you put in your toilet, and there's perforated circles, and you punch the circles out each week until the hole gets bigger and bigger, and then it's just the toilet hole. And so they stand on the seat. All four of their little paws can fit on this 2-square-inch radius, and the cat just stands there, and then it's like magic. But you know what's funny is when you would stay at my house and you would walk in on the cat.
I mean, I'm so sorry. My apologies.
It's so vulnerable.
I'm
She's
so sorry.
So vulnerable.
Should I leave? I apologize. You didn't lock the door. I didn't know. I'm sorry.
Walking in on it, like, what's worse? Walking in on, like, a little kid, like a boy, like, pooping, and he's, like, so embarrassed, or, like, walking in on a cat, like, doing her business. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I've experienced both.
Well, in the case of a little boy pooping, they'd probably
be
embarrassed.
And when I say little boy, I mean 12. Like, I mean, like, a 12-year-old.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah.
Because little boys don't care.
Yeah, they don't care. They're like, no, can you help me wipe?
Yeah. No, this 12-year-old I walked in on, it was like, he was so humiliated. He was already sweating as it was. And his response, but I'll never forget it. I opened the door. It was at Huntington Beach at one of those stupid beach toilets. They're the worst. And I opened the door and he had curly hair.
Oh no.
And he was just so sweaty. And he is like, his elbows were on his knees. And like, I opened the door and he looks like a, oh God. I will never forget that.
No.
It's scarred in both of our brains. I don't know who that is. If your name is Alfred and you were 12 years old at Huntington Beach,
Alfred?
And some girl, I don't know, I'm guessing, and some Latina girl walked in on you doing your business, I just want to say I'm sorry. I should have knocked.
Oh, God.
His face.
Like, I've been in therapy for years because of this.
Traumatized. Oh, sweet boy.
Okay. My gosh. Yeah, I would much rather walk into a cat.
Okay, good.
I would much rather walk into confusion. Like, in that situation, I know what's happening and now we're both scarred for life. In this cat situation, I'm like, wait, what? No. Mariah, your cat's doing something in your bathroom.
Yeah.
What is happening? No, she's potty trained. Yeah. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
And then I think it was one time I went to the bathroom and there was like a little poop in there or something. Yeah. And I was like, oh, how embarrassing. She didn't flush the toilet.
Oh, my God. You thought it was me? Oh, that's so funny.
And I'm like, wait a minute. She didn't wipe either? There's no toilet paper. Just kidding.
Wait, now we got to – I feel like we need to teach the cat how to flush. Like, surely they can
I
just –
I know.
Is there a level two?
There's probably there's probably a level two.
An advanced.
Advanced course. AP courses for cat training. So
good. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Yes. So, listen.
Funhella.
Funhella is all about gratitude. And I really, like, I'm grateful for our friendship. I'm grateful for all these memories that I have with you. They're super special that we now get to share with everybody who watching may have not known that potty training cat was a thing. I didn't know. And now you also know. So this is great. But I want to know, in all of your experiences with your career, with growing up in Southern California, with moving to the South, with marrying into an Australian family, with having your parents be able to live with you, all these things that your life has become, and it's so beautiful. What are you grateful for? Like, if you could pinpoint in your life, what am I grateful for? Whether it's like, what is it today? Or what is it that's something that I just think about from childhood, the way my grandma used to do this or whatever it is? Like, what are some things that you're grateful for?
I love that you asked this question, because I think that gratitude is actually a healing salve for us. And especially when we're in seasons of stress, stopping and thinking about what we're grateful for is like a superpower. It's like being plugged in to a socket. Like, you're just like, it gives you the energy to keep going. I was listening to a Marvin Sapp record this week.
Never would have made it.
Is
never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me. And I say, I'm stronger. I'm wiser. I'm better.
Better.
So much better.
I mean, I have been singing that song since I was a little girl.
Yeah.
But there was something about this week where I was like, I need to hear that song again.
Ooh.
And then I started listening to like all his songs. And there's this song that says something about like praise confuses the enemy.
Oh.
Like worship confuses the enemy.
Oh.
And, you know, it's funny because like to me, I'm like pretty extreme. I'm either like, is there a God? Or I'm like, and praise will confuse the enemy. You know?
Like one or the other.
Why do I relate so hard?
I already know.
Why did I relate so hard?
You already know.
Oh my gosh. Is there even a heaven and a hell? Are those even real things? But you know what? Just in case, I'm going to make sure I get to heaven. Okay.
You know what it is? It's like the sifting between like church culture and expectations, which I think is just not helpful anyways. And the spirit-led stuff that makes you feel like there is something and it's inexplicable and everyone trying to explain it can just stop because we all know you can't explain this.
Yeah, yeah.
But going back to gratitude and the whole idea of like worship confusing the enemy, like I think what that did for me this morning, because I do have a gratitude practice on my morning pages. So every morning I journal, I write. I end with things that I'm grateful for. And so this morning, I was naming all the things that I'm really confused about and really frustrated by. Mm. And I tried to like trick myself. I was like, you know what? This is really confusing and I don't know what is going to happen, but I think that God is good. And I think that God wants the best for me. And I'm going to choose to, and I'm not going to spiral into fear or stress. I'm going to be thankful for how this is going to work out, because it's going to work out. Like, I was trying to like trick myself into being positive. And so sometimes, you know, gratitude for me looks like being thankful for the solution that has yet to come.
Okay.
Because when I look back, I can see all the things that I've stressed out about and how incredibly well it all worked out.
Yeah.
And how all my plans failed. And that failure led to what I was supposed to do in the first place. Mm. And, you know, I look at what I'm doing now as an artist. And I mean, this is such cool timing, Ange, because this is my first kind of entry into the country industry as a Latin country artist. I've released Hasta Mañana, Hasta Mañana in Español, and a Christmas song. And it's all been like incredible. It's been an amazing experience. And I've only started sharing this record this summer. And already I'm just like, wow. I experienced so much rejection, so much rejection in religious spaces, in the religious arts. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, I mean, I'm just going to be real. Like, if anybody should be able to, like, walk into a CCM label, for those of you who don't know, CCM's like contemporary Christian, and be like, give me a record deal. I have this record. I mean, I'm married to someone who is like the king of like Christian music.
Yeah.
So you would think I'd have a little edge, you know, a little bit like, I don't want to say like Nepo, but I'm kind of like
a Nepo wife.
Yeah, Nepo wife, you know? And when I tell you, I played every card. I played every card.
Wow.
I went into every label. I went to every A&R person and, you know, Joel would send them my work, my records. And I mean, he was so sweet and supportive. But like, when I say I was not only rejected and like it was a closed door, it was like a slammed door, bolted, locked, you ain't ever getting in type of situation. And I got to the point where I was just like, okay, I've tried every angle. I have tried to use my voice and my passion for songwriting and my passion for writing about faith and my lack of faith or my questions around it. And I've learned how to produce and I've produced my own EPs and like I've developed myself as an artist and I'm just handing my branding and myself over to these labels being like, please sign me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so many no's. You get to a point where you're just like, I can't do this. The rejection after a while, just you start to really question everything. But I think that's when you get to the power of gratitude, because amidst the failure and amidst everything being undone and amidst being rejected and unwelcome, if you can find one thing that you're grateful for, you can't stop me.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot stop me.
Yeah.
Okay. You tell me that I'm not good enough, not committed enough, not diligent enough. Okay, whatever. Watch me work. Watch me work, because I am grateful for my voice. I am grateful for this music. I'm grateful for my own story. And I had to dig to get to gratitude for my family and my lineage and my heritage. That was not something that was a surface level, easily accessible gratitude piece for me.
Interesting.
I had to really dig and find it. And maybe it's getting older. Maybe it's like losing family members where you start to go, oh, I'm connected to this whole story. I'm just one link in this chain.
Yeah.
And all of these experiences are funneling into my life. What do I have to be grateful for? Okay, let's see. My grandparents immigrating to this country, trading in their dreams and their ambitions in music, in the arts, so that they could work in factories, so that I could potentially one day like carry on that vision and that dream. Like, gratitude for the women in my family who have shown such incredible examples of sacrifice and hard work. Like, the second I'm like, I'm tired, I've been working all day in the studio till 3:30 a.m. I'm like, in the back of my head, I hear my Thea Rachel being like, and have you worked in the tomato fields? Like,
yeah.
Did you pick tomatoes? Did you work in the strawberry
in the
fields like your mom?
Sun?
Nope. Getting paid next to nothing. So it's like, that gratitude of where I come from and the people that I come from And the people that I get to encourage and now sing about,
mm-hmm.
again, like, you can't stop me. Don't try to stop a Latina, okay?
Don't.
If she has a vision for where she is going and you come at her, just know that every little thing you say trying to discourage or dissuade, she knows how to turn that into a positive.
Mm-hmm. She's going to write a song about
she
it.
Go, and she's going to write a song about it.
And guess what? And guess what? And if she is not a songwriter, she has a lot of cousins. And they are violent.
I get it from my mom. I get it from my mom. Her and my dad were dating, and they had, like, no money. And my dad's like, these are all the reasons. They were at a bar. He writes it down on a sheet of paper. These are all the reasons why we cannot get married. No money. No opportunity. No support. No, like, what? And she took every single one and she turned it into a positive.
Yes, mom.
She's like, no money? Okay, well then we will be encouraged to put all of our joint efforts together and, like, pay for things. And, like, I'll help pay for you to go through law school so you can do that. And da, da, da. Like, she just turned it off.
Get what you want, girl. Go get it.
I mean,
she said,
the vision.
Try again.
Try again.
Mm-hmm. Try again. And then your dad was like falling more in love. He's like, oh, I love this woman.
I know.
How long have they been married now?
32 years.
Dang.
Somewhere between 32 and 34.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And then your dad went on to go to law school. Uh-huh. And then he became a judge.
Oop. Oop. Your Honor.
Oop. Excuse me, Your Honor.
Excuse me, Your Honor, but like, there's a reason I did that.
Oh my goodness.
And then your dad's like, okay, well, actually, like, oh wait, Your Honor, you're not supposed to talk like me. That's incredible. Mm. The fact you said something about that now I get to write songs about them. Stop. Just the idea of your grandparents, who I didn't know that they were, like, had dreams of, like, music and things like
my
that.
My grandpa was a touring trumpet player in Mexico.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So to come to this country, mm-hmm. and go to work in the fields for a better life, that now, a generation later, mm-hmm. you are living that dream and writing songs about them. Ugh.
Yeah.
How beautiful. How special. I think about, like, with Rosie, and sometimes she'll watch videos of me doing stand up. Mm-hmm. Usually because, like, I'm like, I have to approve a new clip or, like, whatever it is, mm-hmm. and I'm watching it, like, work wise, but then she'll be right next to me and she'll be like, Mommy. I'm like, yeah, that's Mommy. And then she'll, like, just sit there and, like, watch the clip with me, and then when the audience will applause, then she starts clapping, and, like, if they're laughing, then she'll laugh because she doesn't know why, but mm-hmm. she'll, like, you know, just mimic the sounds that she's hearing. Mm-hmm. And I think about the day when I can bring her to a show, mm-hmm. and she can see the audience, mm-hmm. and how they're reacting to her mom, mm-hmm. and what her mom is doing, and be like, whoa, like, that's my mom, like, that's so cool. And then at the same time, see how I treat people, mm-hmm. and see how I operate in gratitude. Mm-hmm. And I just start thinking about the things that I want to instill in her, and then wonder who she'll become one day, mm-hmm. and what my life, how that will affect her story and mm-hmm. the narrative that she has when she writes a song, if she becomes a musical artist, or if she goes into business, mm-hmm. how watching me affected her life. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know. Those are things that I now think about, and which, of course, I didn't have a kid. I didn't have a kid till I was 41. So I didn't think about any of these
things.
Mi
inspiración. You know, something you just said, like, it completed a circle for me in my head. I realized, if I'm just being completely honest with myself, that two things that I really want are to be seen and to be safe.
Mm.
And for me, some of the ways that I think I'm going to shortcut and life hack my way to being seen and safe is to be successful or to be in power. Success meaning great album sales, big movie landing, you know, writing something that sells a lot. I mean, whatever, however you define success. And then the way that I see being safe is, you know, being in power, which you can do by having a lot of money, having a very insulated life with a lot of people around you that you want to be around you. I mean, there's so many different ways you can slice that cake. And I used to feel like I was a bad person for wanting those things, for wanting to be seen, for wanting to be safe, for wanting success, or for wanting power. But I was processing that with one of my besties, his name's Jill, this week. And I was saying, you know, this is what I desire. This is what motivates me.
Yeah.
Like, does that make me a bad person? And he was like, wanting those things is not the issue. It's thinking that that's the end. It's thinking that success and power is where the journey stops, is the peak of the mountain. When in reality, the fulfillment of those things is what's truly life-giving. And the fulfillment of it happens when you become visible so that you can see the invisible. You can see people who are unseen. You become powerful so that you can empower other people. You can empower the powerless. And I think that hearing you talk about the dreams and the visions that you have for yourself as a mom and as a comedian with Rosie, it's like, okay, you're not just wanting the stage for the sake of the stage. You're wanting the stage and that environment so you can set an example for your daughter to see what that looks like. And I think that it's as we take those ambitions that we have for ourselves and we start to think through, when I get those things, because especially for those of us who are like, I will not stop until I reach that point. When I get there, who am I going to share it with? I think that's the question. Who am I going to give all that I've learned to? And be it your own kids, be it a people group, be it an audience, be it your fans, be it your familia, whatever that is, you know, it's the sharing of it that I think makes it really special. Not that I cook, but it would be like if I made empanadas con calabaza. Like, the exciting part is like watching my mom eat one or my husband and enjoying that with them. You know? Yeah.
It's like wanting the power and the visibility is not the bad part. It's what are you going to do with it?
Yes.
So it's like, am I a bad person for wanting this? I would have responded, well, why do you want it? Well, I want power so I can control people and I can make them do what I want. Oh, that's not great intention. I would look at that.
I mean, and how many people would admit that? Usually it'll come out more like, well, I want power so that I can like be safe.
Sure. So how are you going to keep yourself safe? Like, what does that look like? That's so it really could just comes down to intention. And then when you were ask somebody that question, who maybe they thought they wanted power and visibility until you ask that question of why do you want it? And then when they break it down and think about it, then actually, you know what? It turns out I actually don't want power. I just want to be safe. So how do I be safe?
That always gave me chills.
Yeah. And sometimes we just have to ask ourselves those questions and reevaluate what we want. Like, I've been saying for years and years, I want this certain thing in my career. For years. I've been working towards it. And then I sat down with a friend recently and had a conversation, and this particular friend has the thing that I've been working towards. And after sitting in this conversation and having such a deep, heartfelt, honest conversation, I walked away realizing I don't think that's what I want after all.
Wow.
In this whole time, this is what I thought I wanted.
Okay, just to make it practical for me, can you say what that thing is or something close to it?
So,
yes, I want to drive this point home. I want to understand
yes.
what you're saying.
So, growth in my career.
Okay.
Right? In my stand-up and my acting. And I always want to grow. And more money means I get to take care of more of my people that I love. If I am in this tiny comedy club, but then I grow to this bigger comedy club, but then I moved out of the comedy club, now I'm in this theater, growth. And then now I'm in the bigger theater, growth. Like, well, what if I do the arena? Big, like that would be amazing. And you see what others are doing, right? And you can't help but compare yourself. And then when you see it on social media, it's the highlight reel. So it looks incredible. It looks amazing. It looks like, whoa, like doing an arena tour. Like I still would like to experience that. Like I think that would be great.
Yeah.
But when I say like the things that I wanted, it's like I want this production company where I can have this person running this person running this. And then I'm in this meeting for the movies that I'm producing. I'm in this meeting for the TV shows that I'm running. I'm in this meeting for my stand-up tour that's coming up. And then I'm in this meeting for this and that. And in my mind, I wanted this, like, I know I'm good at all of these things. I know I'm a funny comedian. I know I'm a great actress. I know I'm good at business. I know I treat people well. So I'm like, if I could have this like big machine working and this could be incredible and I could have TV shows, movies, I could have stand up. I can produce other people's things. Like it's not just projects for me. It's like I can produce this for my friend over here and I can produce it for, and that would be incredible. And I thought that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
And then hearing from someone who is doing all of those things and how much of their life is given to that and how much of their life is not given to their children and their family, their friends, their best friends, the people that they love because they're constantly working and they're doing amazing stuff. And it's like, you know, how do you spend time with your family? And you don't. You like plan a vacation a year, a couple vacations a year. How do you spend time with your friends, like your best friends? We have a couple meetings a year that we do. We do a girls' trip.
Yeah.
And for me personally, I value the things that are on the back burner in that situation more than the front.
Interesting. Wow.
So after hearing about not only like what consumes their life, but the amount of pressure that comes with a arena tour from the production of it, all the people who are now on the road under your supervision, from the guys who build the stage to the soundboard to the lights to the multiple buses that you have out for the whole crew that's there, making sure if somebody gets injured, that's on you. Selling these tickets, the pressure of selling that many tickets. You've committed to these projects, the pressure of making sure they end up good. Making sure people see them, press tours, marketing, a hand in all of it. That's pressure. It's weight. And I don't think I want that. And I was like, you know what? This whole time I thought this is what I wanted. And I felt so much peace in my spirit walking out of there going, I don't think this is what I want. And I was in tears of gratitude, looking them in the face, this husband and wife, looking them in the face, crying, thanking them. Thank you for being so honest with me.
Yes.
And sharing the intricacies of how you run your business and what it takes. And I know it's different for everybody, but thank you for being so vulnerable and honest with me, because I feel like you've really liberated me from a false dream that I've been holding on to.
Oh, wow.
And I feel like so much peace in that, that I'm like, okay, I wonder what I do want. Wow. I wonder what that is. I just spent 20 years of my career wanting that. But I'm grateful for that because it got me to where I am today, and I love where I am today.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I wonder what I do want. All I know is that I want to be able to spend time with people I love. Yeah. My husband, my daughter, my siblings, my mom, my in-laws. We've moved them closer to us. They live right next door. Like I said, that Latino thing. Like, let me tell you, like, how close can you get? Listen, I don't have any rooms left in my house. So how about next door? So I'm like, those are the things that I prioritize that feel good to me that I want. So I'm like, okay, what do I do in my career to afford me the ability to spend as much time with my family as possible, make as many memories as possible, and still create art that I love to create, make people laugh. I love making people laugh. I love to share stories. I love to empower people. I love to encourage people. There's times where I'll be in an airport and there's someone in front of me in line, in the TSA line, and they have a little matching bag set, right? This just happened the other day. And I didn't love it, right? It was like cute, you know? But I wasn't like, oh my God, I want that.
Yeah.
I was just, what happened was I recognized, I was like, oh, she has a matching suitcase. Her purse and her suitcase match.
And she's probably real proud of that.
And I'm like, that's interesting. Right. Yeah, she's probably real proud of it. I didn't care too much for it. But I said, you know what? I'm going to give her a compliment on this. And I said, I love your matching bags. That's so cute. And she's like, thank you. And I was like, yeah, it's so cute. I didn't really love it. But to me, the fact that I noticed that, I think this would mean a lot to her.
Yeah. Yeah.
That somebody would recognize something that makes her happy.
Yeah.
And that meant more to me.
You are seen to see other people. That's what you just did.
Whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And so maybe somebody could hear that and be like, well, you weren't being genuine because you actually didn't love it and you told her you loved it. And
listen, if we actually thought people, if we actually say what we think to people.
No. That was me just trying to do what I feel in my spirit. And my spirit was saying, give her love. And the way that I think this woman will receive love is compliment her bags.
Yeah.
I don't have to love her bags, but just give her a compliment on her bags because she needs to feel some love right now.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, how can I make this woman's day and make her feel love? I love your bags.
So aware. That's so it. Aware. How would we live our lives if we went around each setting we were in asking ourselves that question of, who around me needs love? Like, what? Like, in this grocery store, in this airport, in this school, because we so often are walking with love me, love me, love me, love me.
Yeah.
But what would happen if we walked around going, who do I need to love right now? Be probably some very interesting conversations and moments.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I used to do this a lot in meet and greets, too.
Really?
I haven't done a meet and greet in a while since probably 2020. mainly because I, well, there's a few reasons why I haven't done meet and greets, but I don't want to get into that. But yeah. there's a few reasons why I haven't done a meet and greet. But I love meet and greets because I love connecting with people and hearing their story.
Yeah, I
despise a meet and greet that's a cheese picture. Thank you for coming by.
Yeah, cheese picture. Thank you for coming by.
That's just exhausting for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like if we're going to be in each other's presence, who let's are you?
Have a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like let's whatever, right? Yeah. So in these meet and greets, I would get minimal time with each person that came up next in line. Like it's minimal, but I try to like, I'm looking everybody in the eye. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to like give them a moment. They just stood in line for like an hour. They've had these tickets for 3 months. They've been excited to come see me. And then this is our one moment.
Yeah.
We get like a minute.
Yeah.
Here they are. They're next in line, right? So I try to maximize the moment for them.
Yeah.
Right? And I listen to my spirit of whatever is happening. And sometimes the situation is just so nice to meet you. Thank you for coming. Oh my gosh, you wanted a picture? Yeah, let's take a picture. Thank you. Get home safe. Sometimes it's just that, and that's okay. But then there's times where I'll be in a meet and greet, I'm looking at them, and there's something about this guy's face that is like warm and inviting. And they're just like, yeah, you were so happy to be. We drove in for, you know, hour and a half, blah, blah, blah. Cool. You're a good dude. I don't know. I just met you right now, but you're a good dude. I can tell. Mm-hmm. You guys have kids? Yeah, we do. We have three kids. Oh, I bet you're a great dad.
Oh, yeah.
You feel like a great dad. And the wife, he is a great dad. Oh. I mean, I could feel it. You feel like a great dad. And it's just like I'm just listening to my spirit in those moments. What needs to be said here? And sometimes no, it's nothing.
You've just said this a couple times, listening to your spirit. Like, how do you define that experience of listening to your spirit? What is your spirit and how does it communicate to you?
Acknowledge the thoughts that are in your mind. Mm-hmm. For instance, going back to the airport story. Mm-hmm. I noticed a matching bag. Why did I notice that? Mm. I could just stay in my thoughts and be like, well, because you're in your thoughts and you notice things with, oh, there's shoes, there's this, mm-hmm. there's that, the beep, beep, there's a beeping sound, whatever. Mm-hmm. It could be that. Or there's a reason why this bag is standing out to me mm-hmm. for some reason. Mm-hmm. And it's really about tuning in, being empathetic, mm-hmm. Asking God mm-hmm. to talk to you, mm-hmm. asking God to speak to you, living and operating from a place of gratitude, because yeah. I believe that gratitude raises your vibration and you start operating from this higher frequency here. But yep. when you have anxiety, when you are angry, when you are stuck in addiction, when you are full of shame, this is low.
Yeah.
This is low vibration
yeah.
and you attract what's here, what's low. But when you raise your vibration and you start operating from up here, you see from a different view. When you're on the ground floor at the hotel, all you see is right here. But then you go up a few floors, you're like, oh, I didn't know there was a river over there. Mm. And there's a cute dog park. I could take my dog. You see from a different point of view when you're up here, right? So gratitude raises your vibration. So you start seeing from a different perspective. So operating out of gratitude, living in gratitude, you start seeing differently. So then you would see a bag that's matching and go, why am I noticing this bag? And then you start training yourself and then it comes quicker. So I could just sit and like, that's weird. Why am I noticing this bag? That's fine. And then it gets to the point where, oh, that bag's matching. I think she needs love. I love your bag. And then it happens quick like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the way that you put that. Thank you for defining that, because I think that that's a very practical way to look at how to start thinking about what you're thinking about.
Yeah.
Like we so often, we forget to pause and go, why am I noticing that? Why mm-hmm. am I thinking about that? That's really good. It's yeah. training your mind. I love that.
Listen, before we move on and play a message from a listener telling us what they are grateful for, do you have anything else that you would like to contribute to the airwaves?
To Funhela?
Yes. Of what you are grateful for. And you don't have to say, you could be like, no, I'm tapped out. That's it. That's all I got for today.
Oh my gosh. No, it's honestly just trying to like pick one because there's just so many things. It's like the sunlight, my dog. I love my favorite socks that I'm wearing today. Like, you know, there's so many things. You know, in this season, I truly am grateful for being able to put out music.
Yes.
And
I was hoping you were going to bring up your music so we could talk about it a little bit.
But I say that because, you know, being an artist, when you have ideas, when you have songs, it's like you're pregnant with creativity. You're pregnant mm-hmm. with a project.
Yeah.
And to be honest, it's felt like I've been past due for a really long time.
Uh-huh.
Where I'm just like, God,
this baby's big.
Is huge. I'm waddling around like I can't function normally and do things that are simple tasks because I'm just so overwhelmed with all that I've invested in this project and in these songs. And part of the fulfillment, it's like we were saying earlier, part of the fulfillment of creating something is sharing it mm-hmm. with people.
Yeah.
And I'm very close with the people that are on all my social media profiles. Like, I'm DMing with them every day. You know, I'm hearing their stories. A lot of you guys are exhausted, okay? A lot of you guys are spinning many plates, doing a lot of things. And it is truly the joy of what I get to do as an artist. And I know for you as well, and what you do as a creative, to give you a song, a podcast, a film, a TV show, to give it to you in hopes that out of everything that you are paying for and investing in a day, that you can be gifted something that encourages you. And there's a lot that goes into releasing music, especially the way that I want to do it. It's not just as simple as, I'm just going to put this song on SoundCloud and just, you know, and I've done it that way in the past. I've done that before. And that's a different season and a different path that I am happy that I took in the past. But for this project, I just feel like it's so sacred. I've wanted to release it in a way where it's honoring to the project and it's honoring to the people that it's about and the people that have invested in producing it, writing it, creating it. And that took time to find the right team, to be able to share it properly, to have a megaphone, to give it out into the world that is clear, that's amplified. And I feel an exhale. I feel like my shoulders are down because I have these first three songs out in the world and they're able to live lives of their own and engage with people now with my hands being completely off, you mm-hmm. know, and I've just seen how it's made people feel seen, especially the Spanish translation, like mm-hmm. just to see so many Spanish speakers feel like they are being gifted with something that is speaking to their heart language, you know, that's been really special. And so I'm just grateful to be able to share music friends, with familia, with people. Like, I don't take that for granted. That's mm-hmm. not a given in this life. So I'm grateful.
That's beautiful. You're so talented. Your voice is just so smooth.
Never would have made it.
Listen, that's her natural range. That is where most of her songs live right there. That's what all her songs sound like. Her voice is naturally like in that tone right there.
This is how I tracked this record. I was in a couch like this. What? And I had the mic like this.
No way.
Yeah, because I was so used to tracking vocals in a studio with a producer who's like, I'm going to kick it up a key higher. How about a half step higher? Let's see how high you could.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I can do this live. And like popping blood vessels. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. Like, maybe it's like being in my 30s now where I'm like, I'm looking to do what is effortless, creatively speaking. And so for this whole record, like when you hear the vocals, it's very like relaxed. And yeah, it's because I was sitting in a chair like this, like, and actually leaned back, so I was kind of laying down, and I was like, hasta mañana, hasta mañana. Like, it's just chill. It's relaxing. Makes it fun to sing live.
Yeah. Is there a favorite part? Hasta mañana. Okay. Mm-hmm. Your new hit single. Hey!
You've been dying to say that.
Listen.
Okay, manager.
Is there a favorite part of the song? Like, there's moments in my act that I have a punchline that I cannot wait to say this punchline. There will be a setup where I take a beat before I say this, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait for that beat because it just does something. Is there a moment in this song that you just like sit in and be like, is it the chorus? Is it like, is there any, I don't know. Do you see songs like that the way like I'm just,
oh yeah, okay, I definitely get excited to get to certain lyrics.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I really like getting into verse 2 of this song because in the English version, it's, well, the Spanish version is Mira el cielo de Tennessee y se cae una estrella. And so the in Spanish, and that's in Spanish, but in English it's saying, look at the Tennessee sky tonight, and if a star should fall, it doesn't mean that we're gonna die. Just make a wish, that's all. I just think that's so funny because it's all about perspective, you know. Yeah. And I remember having that experience when I first moved to Nashville, because growing up in Chino, California, where it's like a lot of smog and it's the valley, like you can't see the stars. There's no stars. But when I came out to Tennessee, that was one of the things that was super shocking. I remember laying on a trampoline with Joel. It was one of the first times we ever hung out, and we were just laying on that trampoline looking at the sky, and I saw like 4 shooting stars, and I was panicking. I was like, oh my, it's freaking asteroids. Like, this is asteroids entering the atmosphere. Like, we're all gonna die. We're going, what's to stop that one from landing on this trampoline and killing us? And he had to be like, chill, darling. Like, it's all right. Just make a wish. That's what they're for. And I'm just like, I'm not in Chino anymore. Oh, like,
that's sweet. So, but
it's like, it's now something that, of course, you know, being in Tennessee for as long as I have, I see shooting stars and I'm like, oh, make a wish. And it, but sometimes in life we are definitely more anxious and of the mindset of like, we're gonna die.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But really, all you need to do is just make a wish.
It's interesting coming from to Tennessee from Southern California, being like, wait, you guys have more than 3 stars?
I know. I thought there was only 3.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Are we higher in elevation or something?
I know.
Surely. This is a different galaxy than what I'm used to.
You're like, wait, constellations are real?
Yeah. I thought
that was just cartoons.
I know. Yeah. When you wish upon a star, the little Jiminy Cricket, I'm like, that's fake. He didn't grow up in LA, let me tell you right now. He ain't never been to Chino. Never. Jiminy Cricket, you don't want to go out there.
Yo, if Jesus was born in LA and the wise men were trying to find him, good luck. We would still be looking for the Savior.
Merry Christmas, y'all.
Oh,
that's what I need. God. I need a Straight Out of Bethlehem nativity story based in LA, written by Angela Johnson, please. Thank you.
If the wise men never found Jesus.
They're all like, okay, so you said to get on the 405, but then get off. And then he should be at the 134? I don't understand.
Yeah. The 3 wise men would have been stuck in back-to-back traffic.
They would have. They're like trying to talk to the other wise men. Like, no, I'm on the 5. Well, I'm on. I'm coming. I'm going to be there.
That's good. Oh, my gosh. How funny would that be? A Christmas story based in L.A.
Ooh. Nobody steal it. We're writing it immediately. Copyright right here. It's copywritten. Yeah. I don't know if this is legal binding terms,
copyright,
but I say
Angela
it.
Angela Reyes, 2024.
Legal binding. Bye.
And Mary. Mary's like this Catholic girl who's like, the Immaculate Conception.
Oh, my God. They just send her to special
16
school.
16 and pregnant.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Because they have no idea it's the savior in there. They're like, nah, girl, you got to go to that GED school now. Get out of here.
And she, oh my gosh, but she's pregnant from the savior, from the spirit.
Instead of it being in a manger, it's in daycare at special school.
Joseph's baby daddy, he's like, I know you were messing around with Rashad. I knew you was messing with Rashad. I knew it. I knew it.
Copyright. Oh my god, I love it.
Please, I need this.
Oh my god, I'm
Mary Better, her name is Maria.
I'm calling the Irwin brothers immediately.
Irwin brothers.
Yes.
Please. I have a project for you?
Listen. You're going to want to sit down for this one. I guess this is a good one.
Listen.
I'm sweating. Wait, and now I'm just picturing, like, later in life, his disciples, they're just, like, in a TikTok house. Like, that's, like, they're in a creator house.
One of those creator houses, stop. They're coming up with new trends.
To spread the good news.
They're, like, doing the dance moves. They're like, Jesus loves you.
Starting the trends.
Oh my
god. Follow his way.
And now we have Christian culture.
Ooh, I know. I'm like, shoot, wait, that's getting a little too real. I'm like, wait, I think that's already done. I think they already did that.
Am I holding up a mirror? Oops.
Ooh, art imitating life? Okay.
That's good.
So good.
Rashad. Oh my gosh.
So what we do on Funhella is we invite our viewers, our listeners, to call us and tell us what they are grateful for, and then each episode we pick one. Aww. And so Danielle has picked a voicemail for us to listen to today. And if you are watching at home or listening and you want to give us a call, here is the phone number that you would call.
Yep.
Danielle.
Hi, Angela.
JK. Technical diffs. There's a lot of buttons Danielle has to push. Okay, you guys give her grace.
Okay, ready?
Okay.
747-300-5380.
Give us a call. That is Gabe Gibbs. That is Gabe Gibbs. He wrote that for us.
That's fantastic.
Yes, he's very talented, was on Broadway, and he had listened to some early episodes where we were just saying the phone number, and he was like, nah, you guys need a jingle, and he wrote us a jingle.
Yeah. Okay, Gabe Gibbs.
Yeah. I fully expect a gift of song from you at some point.
Yeah. I was like, we could use an intro song.
We need an intro song.
So, want to dabble?
I got you.
There it is.
I got you. Yeah.
Funhella.
Never would have made it.
Okay, let's listen to this voicemail message.
Hi, Angela. My name is Christy Robinson, and I'm calling from Menifee, California. And I am beyond thankful that my mom and dad said yes to the adoption agency when they called and asked to say would adopt a little redheaded baby girl. And that was over 53 years ago. And I could not have handpicked a better family to be raised with. And I thank God for them every single day. So I am very, very thankful for that.
That is beautiful.
Okay. I was not expecting that.
That was beautiful. What was her name, Danielle? I missed it, I guess.
Her name was Christy.
Christy, thank you for sharing that. How special. I mean, I feel like I hear about adoption stories from the adoptive parent's point of view, but hearing from an adopted child, like,
now
I couldn't,
in her 50s,
yes, like, I couldn't have still handpicked a better family. Yeah. Like, that's so special. That's super duper cool. Thank you for sharing that with us. Mariah, thank you for joining us and sharing some of your story, some of your heart, some of your music, all of it, just what you're grateful for. I am so just inspired by you, and you're just so special. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day. I know you have a full day today going from meeting to meeting to meeting. And as soon as you got here, you're like, girl, you got some cashews I could eat. Like, I just came from a meeting. I'm about to go to another one right after this. Like, you got any cashews up here?
And almond butter.
You got any nuts, preferably raw and salted? Do you have any of those? Thank you so much.
And you did. And you did. That was the shock. You had raw, unsalted cashews, my favorite.
I accidentally bought those. I love you so much. Thank you for coming and be a part of Fungela. You're the best. Really quick before we get out of here, just tell everybody where they can find you, where they can stream your music, how they can best support you, follow along, like all the things. Tell everybody.
Okay. So you can find me on all the social media profiles. My username is Ola Mariah. For all my non-Spanish speakers, that's H-O-L-A-M-O-R-I-A-H. And you can stream my music on all the DSPs, all the streaming platforms under the artist name Mariah, M-O-R-I-A-H. And I look forward to DMing with you. I'm not as funny as Angela, but we will get deep in the DMs.
Yeah, I love that. What's DSP?
DSP is digital streaming platform.
Oh. So
like Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon.
Is that what we say now? We say DSP.
Maybe that's like, just me being a nerd.
DSP, guys, don't forget your DSPs. If you forget your DSP at home, then Amazon it'll show right there. You can order a brand new DSP if you want. So DSP, you guys.
DSPs. See you there.
And with that being said, DSPs.
DSPs.